Genesis chapter 5. Here we go. We're going to read a section of the phone book. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, I'm starting in verse 1. He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. I want you to remember that despite sin, despite the fall, which we have just spoken about the last 2 weeks, we are still image bearers of God. You and I bear the image of our Creator, meaning we can model divine attributes. So sin has not lost the image of God in us. It has marred the image of God, but it is certainly not lost. Verse 3, when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness and in his own image, and he named him Seth. And after Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years. Did you catch that? 800 years, and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. This genealogy I'm going to read covers 10 generations, from Adam all the way to Noah. And one of the things that plays a significant part in this genealogy, which is different than any other genealogy in all of Scripture, is the phrase that is included in this genealogy, not in any others, the phrase, and then he died. Just want you to know, this is unique here, but Moses is doing something intentional here, that one of the consequences of sin, one of the consequences of the fall, is that there would now be death. So he repeats it again and again. Verse 6, when Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. And after he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived 912 years. Help me out. Then what happened? And then he died. All right, good participation here. When Enosh lived 90 years, he became the father of Kenan. And after he had become the father of Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years, had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived 905 years. And then, thank you. Verse 12, when Kenan had lived 70 years, he became the father of Mahalalel. And after he became the father of Mahalalel, how you pronounce that? Kenan lived 840 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Kenan lived 910 years. And then, when Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he became the father of Jared. And after he became the father of Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Mahalalel lived 895 years, and then, when Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then we come to the seventh. I don't know if you've been counting, but Enoch is the seventh in the line here of this genealogy. And most people who, typically in a genealogy, the seventh person plays a very significant role. So if you were to look back to Genesis chapter 4, the seventh person in the line of Cain was who? Lamech. What did Lamech do? He was the first polygamist, and he was the second murderer. Okay, so he played a very significant role in the line of Cain. There was details about Lamech's life, not anyone else's life. Now we come to the life, the seventh person in this genealogy is Enoch. Verse 21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him. You can't participate in this one now because he didn't die. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years, had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived 969 years. And then, that's the oldest man recorded right there in Scripture. His father lived the shortest lifespan in this genealogy, and his son lived the longest. Verse 28, when Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son, and he named him Noah, and said, "He will comfort us in labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." Interesting that Moses, who's listing this genealogy, wants us to notice Enoch, but he also wants us to notice Noah, because it's the only explanation of what someone's name means. And Noah's name means he will comfort us in the labor of painful toil of our hands. His dad had great hopes, aspirations, that his son would bring hope or would bring comfort. And in some ways, Noah did bring comfort, but probably not in the way that Lamech was thinking. After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived 777 years, and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It was almost like after 500 years of being married, he was like, "You know, it seems to be working out between the two of us, so let's have some children." That is the genealogy we find in Genesis chapter 5. And as I've been talking already this morning, the theme that I really want to for us to focus on this morning is Enoch, the person that is told or spoken of that he was a person who walked with God and he was no more. Let's go ahead and look at 21 through 24 again. And we'll read this. It says, "When Enoch lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more, because God took him away." He walked with God. What runs through your mind when you hear that phrase? That he walked with God. This is just not some religious cliche. This was a real person who gave his life to one thing, to walking with God. This is an actual description, but as I read it, it's also an invitation for us. That he walked with God, and there's an invitation for us as well to walk with God. And keep in mind the number of years. 300 years. You ever find it hard just to walk with God for 3 days without getting distracted or detoured or derailed? 3 days. Enoch, 300 years of walking in relationship with God. So what runs through your mind when you hear this phrase, "walked with God and he was no more"? When you hear that, do you think to yourself, "You know, that's just, it's not possible for me. That's really for the heroes, the extraordinary people, and that's just not me. I can't possibly comprehend or fathom living that kind of lifestyle." Or do you think maybe, "You know, I would love to do that. Just tell me how. Just tell me, give me the list. Give me the formula of what I need to do so that I too can walk with God." But let's be honest though, what does it really look like for a mom with three kids, who spends her days feeding, changing diapers, helping kids to take naps? What does it look like for her to walk with God? What about the student who's got $75,000 in student loans and is overwhelmed with the prospect of, "I have no job and I have no hope that this mountain of debt will ever be gone"? How does that individual walk with God? What about the business guy or the businesswoman who, from outward appearances, has it all together? How does that person walk with God? What about the person who just struggles with, "I don't even know if God is real. I don't even know if God exists"? How does that individual or how does that person walk with God? How about a spouse? You're the spouse who wants to walk with God, but your spouse doesn't even know who God is. How does that person walk with God? Great questions, but what's the answer? How do these and many others, we could just come up with a long list of different people and different lifestyles and stories of what does it mean and how does it look for them to walk with God? Well, I've been pondering this question for a long time. What does it really mean to walk with God, or how does one really walk with God? And as I look at the story in Genesis chapter 5, this genealogy, I can't get over the fact that Moses, he doesn't tell us. He says nothing. He doesn't tell us how he did it. And he doesn't even tell us why he did it. He just simply makes a declaration. Enoch, he walked with God. Two times that phrase is mentioned. He is completely silent, but just plainly reports that Enoch walked with God and then he vanished. Frustrating to me, at least. Is it frustrating to you? Because you might actually hear that and you're like, I so want to walk with God. Just give me the bullet point list of things I should do. A, B, and C. What are those things? And just give me a formula of what it really looks like to live a life where I'm actually walking with God. But Moses is completely silent on how Enoch walked with God. Just makes a simple but yet powerful declaration. And I wonder, maybe silence is the point. I don't know why Moses didn't give us a list of how he walked with God. He doesn't give us even a reason of why he walked with God. And maybe Moses is silent on this issue because he's fearful that people would just, if anything, just mimic what they saw in Enoch and not really cultivate their own relationship with God where they walked with God. They looked more like Enoch than they actually looked like the person that God had fashioned and created them to be. I don't know, maybe. Now don't mishear me. We can certainly learn from those who have gone before. So the Apostle Paul in the New Testament even exhorts us. He says this, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 11:1. Where the author of Hebrews says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Paul tells the church in Corinth, just imitate me. Why? Because there's no one else in your culture in that time who is worthy to imitate. So at least consider and look at my lifestyle and imitate me as I imitate Christ. And the same thing with the author of Hebrews. Look at the leaders, those that God has put in position of leadership, and consider their faith and then imitate their faith. So yes, we learn, we can even follow the example or imitate those who've walked ahead of us. But I don't want you to miss that Moses does not answer a question of, well, how did Enoch walk with God? What did he do? Or why did he even choose to walk with God? He just plainly tells us he walked with God and then he vanished. No mention to follow suit or even imitate Enoch. I could come up with a list of reasons of why Moses didn't do that, but it's really not that important because the bottom line is we just don't know. We don't have a list of things that Moses, of why or how Enoch walked with God. And, you know, you could comb through the pages of Scripture looking for other people who walked with God, and maybe we can actually learn from them, but you're not going to find it. You know why? Because there's only one other person who is, it's said to, have walked with God. You know who that was? Noah. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9 says this. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Abraham was a friend of God. David had a heart after God. Moses talked with God face to face as a friend talks to a friend. But all of which are good things, but there's only two people in all of Scripture, all of recorded history, that actually had that intimate where they actually, their description of their life was that they were people, they were men who walked with God. So rather than look for a formula or a how-to manual of how to live a life, I mean, it would be very easy for me just to say, just read your Bible, just pray, don't sin, be obedient, and love people. That's how you walk with God. All of which are true things, but I fear that sometimes we just look for formulas. We look for a to-do list, and we actually begin to build a relationship with our formula rather than build a relationship with our God. So I'm not going to tell you just read your Bible tomorrow, pray 10 minutes longer, share your faith. Those are all good things. I encourage you to do those things. But this morning, I just want to look at what we actually have, what Moses does tell us about Enoch. So we go, at age 65, he started walking with God. What happened at age 65 that Enoch actually started to walk with God? I have no idea from birth to 65 of what his life was like. The text does tell us that at age 65, he became what? Became a father. And then what? And then he began walking with God. Now, I don't want to try and read too much into the text of what's not there, but what we do have is that there was a point in time where he made a very conscious decision, I'm going to begin a journey with God. I'm going to begin a relationship with God. I'm going to start walking with God. And it was at the very time that he became a father. And I wonder, I don't know, this is just wondering, so bear with me. Maybe he, as he fathered his own child, and he looked at his own longing and desire to know and be in relationship with his child, if he had that thought in his head, wow, I wonder if this is what God desires to have with me. I don't know, but I have a feeling that something happened when he was 65, and the only thing we know that happened was he became a dad. He became a father. And I wonder if Enoch began to see that God wanted to be in close relationship with him, and that relationship was best lived out in the context of walking with him. You know, I remember when I became a dad 4 years ago, I freaked out. I never babysat in my life. I had no clue what I was doing. And to tell you the truth, I didn't even really like kids. So I was fearful. What happens? I like dogs, but I didn't like kids. And I was fearful, wow, what if I don't like my kid? You know, they're going to come out and they're going to look like aliens. And what if I don't have that moment where I love them? And, you know, thankfully that didn't happen. I love my kids. But what happened to me when I became a dad 4 years ago is I began to actually have a different view and understanding of God. And I looked at the way my kids trusted me with everything. I'm like, wow, maybe this is the way it's supposed to be, how I'm supposed to trust God. The way that my kids looked at me and they were dependent on me for everything. I mean, from sleeping, feeding them, changing them. I mean, they were so dependent on me. And I was like, wow, maybe this is what it's supposed to be like with God, that I'm supposed to depend on him for anything and everything. When my kids have, as they've gotten older, as they've learned the concept of being disobedient and talking back, you know what? I forgive them. It's funny that I don't dwell on it either. I don't think about it, well, I can't believe he talked back to me, and I hold it against him for 2 weeks. Well, I'm not going to talk to you the way you talked. It doesn't. As soon as the relationship is restored and he just says, I'm sorry, and gives me a huge hug, and I just wonder if that's how God offers me the same forgiveness. The other night, I think this was Thursday night, I went out on a date with my three-year-old, Riley, and we went to the mall. And it was so interesting just to see. She'd been to the mall before, not many times, but we walked into the mall, and she just could not stop holding my hand. I think she was, at some level, afraid. She was like, wow, this is so big. I mean, look at all of this stuff. And she was just grasping onto my hand. And I was just thinking, wow, this is such a picture of what it's supposed to be like in our walk with God. She held my hand so tight. Why? Because she trusted me. She knew that I knew where I was going. And so she would follow me. She knew that if anything happened in this big, huge, open space, Dad would protect her. She felt safe. She just could not stop holding my hand. It was such a picture of, wow, why don't I live like this with God? I mean, that's the picture we get of Enoch walked with God. He had such close fellowship, such close relationship or communion with God. At 65, he made the decision to start walking with God. Now, I'm unable as a dad to do any of these things perfectly, what I'm talking about. But in God our Father, he's perfect. He's without fault. He is a perfect heavenly Father, one that we can trust to be faithful, to provide for us, to be compassionate and gracious, to be loving. He's the perfect Father. Enoch became a dad at 65, and he began to walk with God. It's such a great picture. Do you know God as your Father? Not just God of the distance, but God as your Father, the one that you just, if you can remember back to when you were a three-year-old, a four-year-old, a 10-year-old, and you just wanted to hold your dad's hand or your mom's hand. I wonder if this is an invitation of what it really means to walk with God, is just to be in that tight father-child relationship. The second thing that we know is at 65 he started walking with God, but the imagery that Moses gives us here is that Enoch walked with God. It says it twice. And I love the position that we find Enoch in. He walked with God, not ahead of God, not behind God, but he walked with God. He just wasn't off doing his own thing. He didn't insist on going his own way. He trusted God to be good, and so he walked with him. And so when God said, do this, okay, he was obedient. And when God said, don't do that, he didn't do that, because he walked with God. It was an obedience, it was a life of faith. He positioned himself as closely as he possibly could to the Father, and he walked with him. And this is just some observations, but he walked with God at his pace. I'm so thankful it didn't say he ran with God. I mean, we live in a culture that doesn't teach us to walk, but it teaches us to run, doesn't it? And we've been running ever since. We live lives where we're at max speed all the time until we crash. Such a beautiful picture that says he walked with God. Sometimes we ask people, are you running hard after God? That's kind of the question. Do you have zeal? Do you have passion? Do you have fire for God? I don't know. Let's start asking people, how's your walk with God? Are you learning just not to run, but are you learning very simply just to walk with God? Walked at God's pace, but he also walked in the same direction. No detours or distractions or disobedience. All of those would have just derailed him from walking with God. And what I know of God is he doesn't negotiate. So when I tell God, let's walk over this way. No, Michael, we're walking this way. You can either walk with me or separate yourself from fellowship and walk over that way. God does not negotiate. He's not willing to go on any of my side trips. And I don't know this for sure because the text doesn't say it, but I have a sense for 300 years Enoch walked with God. I have a sense that never at any point was he like, this is just out of obligation that I'm actually walking with God. I have a sense that for 300 years it was privilege. That he woke up every single day and be like, wow, I get to walk with God today. Have you had that feeling lately, that sense where you just woke up and you're like, wow, another day where I get to walk with God. Not out of obligation, but out of the sense of privilege. My goodness, the creator of the universe, the heavens and the earth, has invited me to walk with him. I sense that Enoch didn't walk out of obligation, but had a sense of great privilege that he got to walk with God. Third thing that I'll finish is we look at this phrase, 65, he started his journey. This imagery that he actually walked with God at his pace in the same direction. Number three that I'd point out is he finished what he started. He finished his walk until God took him. He didn't have a choice. He just kept walking and he just kept walking until the day God said, no more. No more. And he took him. Have you ever heard, it's not how you start your journey, it's how you finish? You ever heard that? I've probably even said that a couple times, and I actually kind of regret saying that now. Because people hear, it's not really how you start, it matters more how you finish. And that all plants a seed at some level. Well, if it doesn't really matter how I start, it probably doesn't really matter when I start. And it leads us to actually delay a start. Or even encourage us to have a sloppy start. I love that Enoch made a decision at age 65 years old, and he walked with God. For 300 years, he just continued to walk with God. You know, for Enoch, imagine it wasn't easy walking with God. Imagine he was actually pretty lonely. It wasn't lonely because God had abandoned him. He was walking with God. But the one thing that we know about the culture in which Enoch lived, it was getting more and more godless as time went on. So much so, next week as we talk about the flood, God decided to wipe out mankind, minus Noah and his family. So I imagine Enoch probably was pretty lonely because there weren't many people around him also walking with God. In 1,600 plus years, there's only one mention of one person who was a person who walked with God. Two people, really, in Enoch and then in the life of Noah. You know, interesting, if you were to comb the New Testament for references to Enoch, because he only gets three or four verses here in Hebrew or in Genesis, the New Testament remembers Enoch really for two things, his faith and his ability to preach. If you look at Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6, it says, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. That's how he is remembered by the author of Hebrews, as one who pleased God. The second way that Enoch is remembered in the New Testament is in the letter of Jude. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly acts that they have done in a godly way, and all of the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. This is Jude quoting Enoch, and I'm not sure where he's getting that quote. Enoch doesn't have a book. But it is said that Enoch was a preacher at some level. He prophesied. He spoke to those in his ungodly culture in a way that said, there is consequences for the lifestyle that you live. There will be judgment. And I have this picture that Enoch was not only a preacher, but he was a guy who was always inviting other people to also walk with God. And I love the last verse that we see, Enoch's God's response to Enoch's life. It's beautiful. He walked with God, and then he was no more. God said, I have a new place for you and I to walk together, and God took him to that place. Enoch is one of two people who didn't taste death. Elisha is the other person. But what I love about Enoch is that the other guys in this genealogy maybe lived longer, but Enoch lived better. See, the aim and the point is not to have a long life, but to have a life that matters, and to live a life well. In the beginning, there was a disappearance because one ordinary man chose to live an extraordinary life, and he chose not to waste his life. He chose to live his life in the context of walking with God. I've learned over the years that it's very possible to have a saved soul, but to live a very wasted life. To have a soul that has been saved, but to live a life that is very wasteful. A life where there's a lot more God talk than a life that is actually just walking with God. My hope for you and for me today is that we would make a decision. It took Enoch 65 years, but he made his decision and he started living a life of obedience and trust that God was a good father. Have you made that decision to walk with God? Not to be in relationship with a church or not to just have a lot of God talk in your life, but have you made a decision to actually just, my life is going to be about walking with God? If we go back to that very beginning question of what do you really want your life to be about, I would be very pleased if my obituary said nothing of any accomplishments or achievements or any things that I've ever done or created or built. Michael Davis, he walked with God, and he was no more. That, to me, would be a pretty good epitaph. How about you? What do you really want your life to be about? See, you probably thought you might not learn much from a genealogy, but when you take the time to look at some of the people in the genealogy, you meet a guy like Enoch, an extraordinary life because he was in a relationship with an extraordinary God, and he decided at age 65 to start walking with God. Let's just, if we can, a few moments, Doug Simpson is going to come up and lead us in communion. And this morning I just really wanted to share with you that God has invited you to walk with him. I hope you're not disappointed either, that I'm not giving you a formula. I'm not giving you a to-do list, a bullet point outline of walk with God, well, do A, B, C, and D, and you'll be okay. There's no formula in Genesis chapter 5. And actually, if you read the rest of Scripture, there's no formula in the rest of Scripture. But it does make very clear that the only way we can actually walk with God, be in relationship with God, is through his Son, Jesus Christ. So if you're going to walk with God, you make the decision to get yourself in relationship with Jesus Christ. And then every day, you wake up with a very simple declaration. God, this is the day I'm going to walk with you. I'll listen for your voice, and I will hold your hand, and wherever you lead, I'll follow. And then the next day, God, again, I'm going to walk with you. And then the next day, God, today, I'm going to walk with you. Not out of obligation, but out of privilege. Isn't it a great privilege that the creator of the universe has invited me and you to walk with him? Father, thank you that you are a God who has invited us to walk with you. God, thank you for Genesis chapter 5. Thank you for a life that Enoch chose to live. I thank you that we don't know the details of his life. I thank you that we don't even know the accomplishments or any other achievements that he had. I thank you that the one thing that we do know is really the one thing that matters, is that he was a guy who walked with you and then he disappeared. God, I just pray for myself and all of us here that we would hear that invitation, the invitation to walk with you. And God, every day, not living through formulas or detailed list of how to do it, we would just walk with you. Put our hand in yours and just walk with you. And God, might we be a people like Enoch, that we would be committed to living the rest of our lives in a walk with you.